Iti saudasya kamdanam kalikalmasanasanam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is through these 16 syllables that of the holy name that the influence of Kali can be destroyed. Nam nam yavati shakti papa nivarane hare tavat kartum avapnuti patakam patakinara. That by simply chanting the holy name once, more sins can be destroyed than one can commit in a lifetime. Namabhasa haita sarvapapakshaya. Simply by the dim reflection of the holy name, all sinful reactions can be destroyed. And thus, all sinful tendencies can be permanently removed from the heart. Agun dunvanti karsneena niharam iva bhaskara. Permanently, just as the sun can drive away fog. In this way, the chanting of the holy name can bring us unlimited auspiciousness. This chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is said, for one who is in a humble state of mind, more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, one who is ready to offer all respects to others, such a person can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Trinadapi sunichena tarurapi sahismana amamina manadikina kirtanya sadhari. So that is the nature of the chanting of the holy name. So in various ways, somehow or other, to chant the name of the Lord. Sometimes loud, sometimes softly, gently, sometimes in the mind, at work, sometimes in our dreams. When we regularly chant, then the chanting carries on in our sleep, and even while sleeping, the chanting always continues. In this way, one can be known like Arjuna, whose name is Gudakesh, conqueror of sleep. This is the true way to conquer sleep. Not the conqueror of sleep is one who can sit up all night. Conqueror of sleep. No, it is one who can chant all the time. It is one who can always remember Krishna and never forget him. Smartavyam satatam vishnu vishmartavyam najatu sit sarvavidini sridushu etiyo eva kinkara. That is the servant of all principles. All the Vedic rules and regulations are meant for that one purpose, to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And the means to reach that state is Kirtanya Sadahari, to always chant the holy name. It is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once went to answer a call of nature, and at that time was holding his tongue. One boy named Gopal said, "What are you doing? Why are you holding your tongue?" He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My tongue is always chanting. And when I go to such a contaminated business, then it's not appropriate, so I'm holding my tongue so that it won't chant." Gopal said, but that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. One can die any minute. What? If you would die at that time while holding your tongue? No, no. One should always chant at all times, under in all conditions. Ah, Gopal, Gopal, you are speaking like guru, you know, like instructing in transcendental knowledge and science. It makes a lot of sense. Oh, Gopal, you are Gopal Guru. From that day on, that boy Gopal became Gopal Guru. In this way, the import of all transcendental knowledge is manifest in the chanting of the holy name. It is the essence of yoga. Because yoga ultimately is not gymnastics and bend your back and touch your toes with the tip of your nose and all these things. Gymnastics. My mother was very fond of listening to the radio, and there was this very upbeat voice, you know, and now we're going to bend our knees and then play the piano at the same time. Gosh, it sounded too upbeat to be convincing, if you know what I mean, too optimistic from how nice it was, and I hated it on the spot. Yoga is not easy. It's not so easy. No, some of these asanas are quite complicated. If you see what some people do, how they sort of tie their bodies in a knot, it is quite something. But what is it all for? What is the aim? The aim is simply to control the mind. That is the aim. And once the mind is controlled, then to bring that mind to the lotus feet of the holy name. Nam Prabhu. Nam Prabhu. The holy name. The personality of God in the form of his holy name. Today is the disappearance day of Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur is the personification of chanting the holy name. Haridas Thakur has no other qualification. He's not known for his education. Sorry to say, but Haridas Thakur is not known for a degree. Haridas Thakur is not known for an aristocratic family background. Haridas Thakur is not known for great wealth and coming from an influential family, aristocratic and all that. Haridas Thakur, he was young and handsome, though, beauty. At least Maya Devi thought so. She said to him, "You are the most handsome young man I have ever met." And Haridas said, "Yes, yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." "Just let me finish my rounds." "Yes." "Oh, which young lady can resist the impulse to have union with you when she looks at you?" "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." "Yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." "Oh, I cannot live without you anymore." "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." "Yes, no, I will surely satisfy your desires." "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna." "As soon as I finish my rounds." "Just wait a while." "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare." The whole night he was chanting. The whole night, still not that finish his rounds. The second night, he said, "Yesterday I could not finish my rounds, but today I surely will. I surely will." "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare." "Then I will satisfy all your desires." On the third night, same thing, chanting and chanting, and at the end of the night, she said, "You are cheating me. You actually never finish chanting." But by then, she had become purified, and she said that actually I am Maya personified. So far, no one has been able to withstand my power. Not Lord Shiva, not Lord Brahma. But somehow or other, you are able to not be influenced by the illusory energy. How? Because of the chanting of the holy name. So this holy name is the utmost, the topmost process. There is no greater wealth. There is no greater asset. There is no greater achievement than chanting the holy name. And Haridas showed that. And he chanted and simply chanted. And that was sufficient. Whatever he required somehow or other, it would manifest. And there was no need to interrupt his chanting, to do anything else. Well, of course, he lived a simple life and was satisfied with that life. But that was not sufficient. Haridas Thakur was also tested. After all, Haridas Thakur was from a Muslim birth. And it is not appreciated when one from that birth gives up the tradition. So Haridas was brought before the Qazi. And there it was brought up that Haridas was giving up the Quran. The Qazi said, "My dear Haridas, you have taken a very favorable birth in a Muslim family. You have been blessed from early life with the knowledge of Islam. And now, how can you give up this knowledge for the low ways of the Hindus? How can you give it up?" Haridas was simply saying that you're glorifying the Supreme Lord. And in glorifying the Supreme Lord, there was no belonging to this religion or that religion. The essence is simply the glorification of the Lord by chanting his holy name. The Chand Qazi, that philosophy went over his head. He didn't quite catch it. And he was under a lot of social pressure. So the Chand Qazi told him, "Haridas, please, because if you don't give up your ways, I will be forced to take action against you." And Haridas just continue chanting, and finally it was Haridas was said that he might be severely punished. Haridas said, "You can cut my body into many pieces, but I will never stop chanting the holy name." So in this way, Haridas Thakur spoke with great courage and continued chanting. Then the Chand Qazi says, let him be whipped in 22 marketplaces, which basically meant, that's it, let him die. You know, 22 marketplaces. Who can survive 22 marketplaces and being whipped? So they took him across town and began lashing on his back in so many ways. But Haridas did not die. He did not feel any pain. And they were beating with great force. Nothing happened. Finally, after so many marketplaces, they said, but this is inconceivable. I mean, like, we are beating you like anything and nothing has happened. You just don't die. And Haridas said, "Oh, you want me to die? Oh." Then he dropped on the ground right there and then. Allah, Allah, saved. And they brought the body before the Chand Qazi and they said, "This sinner has received his due punishment." And the Qazi said, "Yes, so be it. Do not bury his body into the sacred earth, but just throw the body in the Ganga as a non-believer deserves, and thus they threw his body in the Ganga. And Haridas's body was floating in the Ganga. And then after a while, Haridas returned to consciousness. He had gone into some internal state of trance, but yet still alive. And now, while floating in the river, he returned to consciousness. And then Haridas was walking again through the town, again loudly chanting the holy name. Then, you know, the Chand Qazi, the Qazi became very worried, and the Qazi realized he is a peer. A peer is a Muslim saint, one who is realized, and you don't mess with a peer. So therefore, the Qazi begged forgiveness and so on, and somehow or other, Haridas had his freedom. No one could do anything, because Haridas had his freedom. Actually, before being beaten, I forgot to mention, Haridas was first thrown in jail. And all the people in the jail, they were very happy that a great saint was there, because they had been rotting in hell for a long time, if you know what I mean. And now there was hope that they would be saved, right? Since a saintly person had come. And then Haridas said, they came to him and they said, oh, please bless us. He said, I bless you that you remain as you are. No, not that. That you remain as you are, meaning, yes, now you are in a prayerful mood. Now you are repenting. Now you are in jail. Now you are giving up sinful activities. Now you stay like this. He said, anyway, in 3 days from now, you will be released from jail. And it all came to pass. So such a personality was Haridas Thakur. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was fully purchased by Haridas Thakur. He had such a deep relationship with Haridas Thakur. Later, when Haridas resided in Jagannath Puri, he resided in the Siddhabakul Gardens or Bagicha, and there Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally come and meet him every day, while Haridas spent his days just chanting the holy name of Krishna. And then, one day, Govinda, the servant of Lord Chaitanya, who upon the order of the Lord was personally taking care of Haridas, came to the ashram of Haridas and brought some quantities of prasadam from Lord Jagannath. Govinda was in great ecstasy to meet Thakur Haridas. But then he saw that Haridas Thakur was lying on his back, very slowly chanting the holy name. And he said, oh, Haridas, get up quickly. I brought this prasadam from Lord Jagannath. Haridas said, oh, today I will be fasting. I will be fasting because today I am not well. Then, not well. So Govinda went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and reported, Haridas is not well. He's lying on his back and he's just chanting very slowly and he's not well. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately went to Haridas Thakur. Immediately went to Haridas Thakur. And he just asked Haridas, but Haridas, you are not well, Govinda told me you are not well, and I'm seeing myself. You're lying on your back. Aidas, what is your disease? Can you tell me what is your disease? My disease is that I cannot finish my rounds. That is my disease. And I cannot chant. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but Haridas, now you are old. You can diminish the number of rounds that you're daily chanting. In your old age, you don't need to chant so many anymore. You're anyway a self-realized soul. Haridas said, no, my Lord, no. No, no, that I cannot do. If I cannot complete my fixed number of rounds, then there's no point in staying alive. Then I better give up this body. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he said, Haridas, you know, upon the request of Advaita Acharya, and upon your request, I came to this world. Both of you were praying for my appearance in this world. So upon your request, I came to this world. Haridas, you must know that I only came to this world because you are here. If you would not be here, who would I have for company? Who could I be with? I would be all alone. Oh no, Haridas, do not speak. Do not speak like this again, giving up your life. Haridas said, my Lord, please don't cheat me. My Lord, I know very well that soon you will wind up your pastimes in this world. And my Lord, grant me this one boon. Grant me this one boon that I may leave this world before your departure, so that I will not have to witness that terrible event. And Haridas was determined. So finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was quiet. He did not speak, and Haridas took that like consent. He's no longer arguing. Then Haridas took the lotus foot of Lord Chaitanya and placed it on his heart while he chanted Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivedanta Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivedanta Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivedanta. And in this way, Haridas now chanted, although his whole life he had chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, now he chanted the Panchatattva Mantra and fully dedicated himself. He looked at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is said that then Haridas Thakur left his body and at his own free will, and at that time, everyone was just amazed to see this kind of a departure. A departure where the Supreme Lord was present, where the devotee was just simply gazing at him and then voluntarily leaving his body. One can understand. Haridas was already in the spiritual world before he left. It wasn't after he left that he went back to God. He was already, Godhead was there. Right there, and Haridas was fully there with him. So in this way, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally took the body of Haridas Thakur, carried it to the ocean, placed the body in the ocean and washed the body, and proclaimed that from this day on, anyone who takes his bath in this ocean will attain Krishna Prema. Jagannath Puri. Anyway. So, careful, some don't go.
going too deep, okay? So in this way, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, along with his associates, made a samadhi on the sand for Haridas Thakur, and placed the body there, made a pit in the sand, and packed the body in, and so on.
Afterwards,
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to glorify Haridas Thakur as if he had five mouths. He couldn't end speaking about the glories of Haridas Thakur. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent all the devotees around begging for some foodstuff so that they could cook a feast. And then he begged himself, and everyone brought so much that it was just too much to handle. So Surup Damodar sent as much back and said, no, only small quantities. And they cooked a huge feast in the honor of Haridas Thakur. Mm. So Haridas Thakur,
it is by his grace
that it is possible for us to chant.
It was by his mercy
and Advaita Acharya's mercy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world. It was because of their prayer. And that's the amazing thing. Because of their prayer, the Lord appeared. And because of that, the result of chanting would become very quickly attained. Doing my best. Not easy. So sorry. So Haridas was chanting and chanting before the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that chanting brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to this world. And after that, the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, and after that, what was difficult became easy. So, normally chanting is very difficult, but after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, that chanting became very easy. Why easy? Because the result of chanting is very quickly attained now, at this time. So, we have to understand that while we are chanting, the mercy of Haridas Thakur is accompanying us. It's not just, he was the Namacharya, he showed the example, and we always look at him as an example. Oh no, it goes much further. His chanting opened the way for our chanting, which is not so impressive, but even although we don't chant much, we get quick results because of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which Haridas caused. Who can be like Haridas Thakur? So in this way we are realizing that Haridas Thakur is an active agent in our spiritual life. Not only is he there like an example, but he is there as an active agent whose mercy is actually touching our daily activities. How amazing is the chanting of the holy name? That the chanting of one person can bring the mercy upon so many others. How amazing is the nature of devotional service. Who knows? Who knows what the destiny of the world would have been? Who knows if Haridas would not have chanted? Who knows? Would Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have appeared? Who knows? And if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have appeared, who knows what would have happened? Right? There would have been no Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There would have been no Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada would have not come on the Jaladuta from east to west. And he would have not chanted in Duncan Square Park under that tree the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and bringing it to the Western world. And he would have not come to South Africa, and there would not be no temple in Rondebosch. What would be here? What would this place be? We don't know. Maybe a high-rise building, you know, by now. Maybe flats, possibly. But it got saved from that miserable destiny to a little corner of the spiritual world. Just all beginning with the mercy of Haridas Thakur. And what is the benefit of devotees being here? It was Krishna's arrangement that we are right here opposite the railway station. I've seen people dancing on the platform during Guru Puja. Yes, when Kirtan was particularly rocking. Somehow, how many people have heard the holy name? How much is their destiny being changed? It is all coming from that Kirtan. Once Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the presence of Haridas Thakur, raised the question, "Oh, my dear Haridas, how will all the conditioned souls be delivered? There are many living beings in so many different forms, and they will all be delivered by hearing the holy name. But how will the trees be delivered? Trees don't. They only stand. They don't chant. How will the trees be delivered?" And Haridas simply said, the echo of the chanting of the devotees, that echo will bounce off the trees, and that is the chanting of the trees. In that way. And in the universe, there are two types of living beings. Living beings who are active and living beings who are inactive. The active living beings, they're all in various bodies doing things. Even trees are active, growing, busy getting new leaves, busy getting flowers and fruits, busy drawing water out of the ground. So even trees are not inactive. Even stones, some living beings live in stones. But then there are living beings everywhere throughout the universe. It is said the living beings are sarvaga. Sarvaga means they're present anywhere and everywhere in the universe. Even between the atoms, there are living beings everywhere. On the moon, on the sun, everywhere, between the atoms are living beings. It said, but many of these living beings have not become active. They are sukshma jivas. They are existing in subtle bodies, and they are like not activated as yet. Such living beings are sort of in a semi-dormant state. How will they be delivered? Said, the entire universe will go back by chanting the holy name, by hearing the holy name, and then the universe will fill up again with the Sukshma Jivas. And then they will chant, and then they will also go. I mean, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, how do you know all these things? How do you know all these things? From within the heart. Haridas Thakur, although he said, yeah, he was chanting all day, so I guess he was more your emotional type, you know, not so much a scholar. Right? I mean, he didn't really study scripture or memorize verses or all these things, as a scholar would do. Haridas was simply chanting, yes. But all knowledge of the scriptures was being revealed within his heart. Because ultimately Krishna is the origin of all knowledge. So these are some of the qualities of Haridas Thakur. So now for us. So I spoke about that Haridas Thakur, his mercy is present in our life. And I spoke about him as our example, and Srila Prabhupada said, not that we imitate Haridas Thakur and try and chant as many rounds as Haridas Thakur, but we take the principle of Haridas Thakur. When Haridas was asked to eat by Govinda, Haridas said, no, how can I eat when I have not finished my rounds? So he's very serious about his rounds, you know, have to finish them. It was not uncommon for a sadhu to take such a vow. First finish the rounds, then eat. I will not eat until I finished my rounds. For us, maybe, not a practical vow. We generally first do everything else, and then we chant our rounds. Yes. After there's really nothing else to do, after you've been to work, after you've eaten and you really can't eat anymore, after you've seen the last TV program, after basically, you know, you've answered all the mail that needed to be answered, after you really, like, couldn't think of anything to do anymore. I haven't finished my rounds. Never thought of that. Boy, gosh. And we finish them somewhere after midnight. The last round. There's something called the last post. You know, the last post is when they blow on a trumpet, right, to memorize the dead, right? Trumpet over there. Blowing along. Yes, so our last post, our last round. At midnight. What can we say? Oh, we are poor, a community of poor people. We are the deprived, the downtrodden, the less privileged. We are from dwellings that are not even suitable for human living. We feed ourselves on practically unedible things. We the desolate. We has good fortune abandoned us? Right? Are we doomed to spend our days in the darkness of emptiness?
say to that, well, that's us, you know. That is us.
And somehow or other, we have been in this condition so long that we even begin to like it.
My mother used to say, you get used to everything, even hanging and strangling. which is a strange saying, you might think.
But basically it meant that even if it is something crazy, if you do it long enough, it becomes normal. That's what she meant to say. You just do a crazy thing, so whenever we did something totally crazy, then that's what she would say. You know, think about it. Okay. Yeah. Well, what to do?
We've become conditioned by a lower standard of life.
And therefore, to us, the chanting of the holy name does not appear very attractive.
It appears like the greatest austerity on earth. Something hard to do or impossible to do. That's the thing. So, Rupa Goswami describes chanting like the situation of a jaundice patient who has so much bile in the body. And when there's a lot of bile, then it affects our taste buds and everything supposedly tastes bitter. I have not experienced that, although I've had jaundice, but not to that degree. You need a lot of bile for that, I guess. But I'm sure it's true. And then the medicine is sweet, but it doesn't taste sweet. Sugar candy, but it tastes bitter. But you have to take it anyway. Lots of it, all day. Soak it in water, you have to drink this sugar syrup all day. I've done that. Not quite like tea, but I have done it extensively, intensely. Lots of this sugar syrup to cure the disease of jaundice. And it is like that. So the chanting is like that. We have to go through this initial stage. And for some of us, the initial stage could be extended for the rest of our life. I'm sorry to say, we never get beyond it. We never get out of the start blocks. Some will never get to 16 rounds, some get there for a day or two and then slip back down, and that's the minimum. But to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the reason why we are chanting a fixed number of rounds, why we are counting our rounds, is to see if we increase. That's the reason why we're counting. It's not like to fulfill a quota every day, but to see if we increase. So these are all meditations on this day. Of course, there's more than just the just chanting japa. There's also kirtan. And we see that also kirtaniras are taking their inspiration from Haridas Thakur. Many kirtaniras actually are praying to Haridas Thakur for strength to chant the name, not only to chant the name, but to chant the name properly, to chant the name in the right state of mind, in the right mood, to approach the Lord in humility and to chant for his glorification, to spread the glories of Krishna everywhere, to spread the fame of the Lord everywhere, because that fame of the Lord is all auspicious. It is said whoever becomes connected to such pure devotional service is delivered from any type of suffering immediately.
And anyone who gets the benefit of somehow or other connecting to the holy name becomes reinstated in the service of Krishna. So in this way, everything becomes auspicious by chanting. So let us also make it our business to dedicate our life to the holy name. Srila Prabhupada, he pointed out that for us, it would not be easy to chant as many names as Haridas Thakur. Mathematicians are calculating it in different ways. Some are calculating it by the exact number of rounds, and they come to 175 rounds. Going by the number of times chanting Hare Krishna. Others are counting it by the traditional Indian way, and 1 lakh of rounds meant 64 rounds. So 3 times 64 is 192. So, okay, some say, but on that number, what is 17 rounds? You know what I'm saying? It's like you just, you know, toes. Doesn't make any difference. 17 next, 17 more, 17 less. Some are saying that Haridas Thakur was chanting the first 64 rounds out loud, the second 64 in his mind, but while moving the lips softly, and then the third, and barely audible, and the third one softly. So, the third 64, whatever may be, every day, so constantly chanting, then miracles begin to happen, and then the spiritual world becomes revealed. Then we are chanting from the spiritual perspective. There's an analogy which is saying in the beginning, in spiritual life, we stand on material ground in the midst of our material life and take up a spiritual process. As we take up the spiritual process, we're stretching our leg and reaching out towards the spiritual side. But there's no weight on the leg. All the weight is still on the material leg. Then one gradually moves the body forward, and as one moves it forward, the weight shifts to the spiritual side. And when all the weight is on the spiritual leg and there is no more weight on the material leg, then the chanting is experienced in a totally different way. Then we are residents of the spiritual world. Then we are living in the spiritual world and sort of visiting here in the material world. Then we are only here externally, but internally we are with Krishna, in Krishna's reality, because that is the reality, and we totally realize that the material world has no meaning at all, and that the so-called important things in the world are not important at all. To the side, quick, quick, an ambulance! An ambulance came. Oh, you know, my gosh, that guy drove fast. It's a matter of life and death. It's on the cutting edge, you know, immediately. Gosh, you know, seconds can save a life. You know, now it's getting important. It's getting real business. No more playing. I mean, it's getting serious, folks. It's getting serious. It's getting on the cutting edge. That's not the cutting edge. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes speak how death, right, doesn't really exist. He said, because the soul never dies. He said, and the body was anyway not alive. It never was alive for a moment. Did you think it was alive? It was not. He says, it's the soul. The soul that drags that costume along. It's the soul that makes it move.
like a marionette that's pulled by the strings, the body itself is always dead. Always. It's just dead matter. There's no life in it whatsoever.
Well, I don't know.
That's how Srila Prabhupada explained it, though. Maybe shocking, but for those who are familiar with Bhagavad Gita and have thoroughly assimilated it, not so shocking. Yes, therefore death, Prabhupada said, it's just like going to sleep for a while, and then after 7 months you wake up in the womb and so on, and the circus starts again. So, in this way, you get a good rest. That's all. There's nothing more. Finally. So the Christian idea, I'm sorry, it's not eternal sleep, you know? You thought you're going to sleep forever. No, sorry, it's about 7 months. Still, not bad, you know? God. I mean, you know, in this world, if you get 7 hours, you're lucky. Yeah. Let's stay again. So, no, death is not the cutting edge. Then what is the cutting edge? Those sirens, right? Those sirens, they should not be used for ambulances. They should be used for the Sankirtan vehicles, for the devotees, like they are not preaching. They should get a blue light on them, and, you know, and a siren, and all the cars should just go to the side. Oh, it's the cutting edge, it's the Sankirtan body. Did you see how fast they're driving? Seconds can save lives, you know? Oh no, we can't waste their time for a moment. Seconds can save lives, really. You know, one more book, yes, one more holy name, one more, yes, one more bite of prasad, yes, save lives. And we are food for life. That is food for life, you know, that is food for life. Yeah, the young men's from food for life. Oh, that's the book distribution party, you know, yeah, they're going there in the white cars and... Oh, that red one, the fire truck, it's the fire de Parina. like this, yes. That's the real cutting edge. All right, I know it takes some philosophical adjustment to really, to believe it, really. But theoretically, you can see, well, it is in line with the Bhagavad Gita. So, this is our meditation. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura says in Harinam Chintamani, where he lets Haridas be the speaker in his book Harinam Chintamani, and Haridas is explaining the power of the holy name, of Sudanam, of the pure name of the Lord, of Nam Abbas, of the dim reflection of the name of the Lord. Sudanam is chanted by the pure devotees. Nam Abbas is chanted by the conditioned souls. And even Nam Abbas is present in all kinds of words. Do you know that margarine? I hate margarine. Don't give me margarine, okay. I mean, unedible stuff. Yeah, margarine. But that stuff, it has a good name. That's about the only thing good about it that I got a hand in. What's her name?
Wow.
Very good. Yes, so in this way, this is Nam Abbas. I was in New Zealand, and there was a town called Rama Rama. We are from Rama Rama, right? Rama Rama. Not there, Rama Rama. Disco Rama, that Rama, you know, Hari Rama. So many Ramas.
Sita Ram.
It wasn't me, Sita Ram. It was him. Yeah. But so in so many ways,
Remember, in Russia, devotees were being oppressed. Devotees were being put into labor camps, and it was tough. And if you don't know, read the book Salted Bread and read like how this devotee is in this camp and how he gets this razor blade and a pencil and somehow or other an electric wire, and he rigs it up all together so that he can boil water, because otherwise it's undrinkable. Gosh, you know, how to survive in that place. Somehow or other, salted bread, right? Making beads out of bread, right? Making beads out of bread. Or like Sannyas Das, who was arrested and who would, like, in Morse code, with a teaspoon on the heating tubes of the jails of the jail, start ticking. Tick, 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 tick. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. God, how long does it take to do one mantra? You gotta do it in Morse code. But he did it in Morse code, the whole thing. And people would, then, after a while, the reply came, "What's that?" And then explaining the whole thing over the heated tubes in Morse code. The holy name. God, so many ticks. But painstakingly ticking away in Morse code, he got the message across, and the chanting spread throughout the jail. And others started to chant, and the whole jail started to chant. And they locked Sannyas Das in an isolation cell with a huge man, sized gorilla, but mind only half there. But even that man started chanting Hare Krishna. Oh my gosh, you know. They didn't know what to do with him. Somehow or other, it went on. And Kirti Raj is American, but from Russian descent, and he is huge. You know, he's a man. He's like 2 meters by, you know, at least 1.5. You know, so it's a mountain of a man. You know, like, and he is the boss. I mean, when he's around, he's the boss. And if you don't agree, then he has ways. So Kirti Raj started this campaign. He started a big campaign, big photos of all the devotees in the jail. Big campaign, newspapers coming, and the whole story of what they were doing to them, some in labor camps, some in mental hospitals, some children had died in the camps, some devotees had died of tuberculosis in the camps. Everything was given to the press, and it became a huge thing. And then we remember how the Prime Minister of India, one day, of Russia, took all these devotees out of these conditions, and I told them, okay, go. And it was immediately arranged that all these devotees, when they became free, that they could go to Mayapur. And we were there, we went to Calcutta to meet them. And they had appointed Bhakti Charu Maharaj and Kesava Bharati Maharaj to embrace them. Also some ladies to embrace the ladies, I'm not sure who were embracing the ladies. But Bhakti Charu Maharaj, I mean, he can hug, you know what I mean? He's got that, like, affection, you know? Like, all the love, and Kesava Bharati Maharaj is the same, you know? And so the two of them were doing the hugging. Bibi Govinda Maharaj was leading the kirtan. Indrajumna Maharaj, in his younger years, playing the mridanga. It was a flying reception. It was just amazing. Then we went with all these devotees in convoy, them on a bus, and we following this bus in a large convoy to Mayapur. Then he might put a second reception party, more kirtan, this and that, and that. There was a lecture, And in that lecture, Bhakti Charulai somehow gave that lecture, and the lecture was about Keshava. So this one Russian devotee asked the question, who is Keshava? Who is Keshava? He says, they captured me and took me to a mental hospital and gave some medicine where when you were sitting, you felt, oh, I gotta stand up. And when you would stand up, you felt, I gotta sit down. And this is going on, standing up, sitting down, stand for hours. Right? He said, and all that kept him going was just this one word came into his mind. Keshava. 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 He said, who is Keshava? What does it mean? So, Bhakti Charu Maharaj said, Keshava is Krishna. Keshava is Krishna with the beautiful hair. Huh? Krishna, the beautiful hair. He tried to figure it out. Then he said, but there's also another meaning to Keshava. And that is the killer of the Kesi demon. An overpowering horse. That horse was flesh-eating. And when Kesi came into Vrindavan, its manes touched the clouds in the sky, and Kesi, it was just beating the ground with his hooves, and ladies had miscarriages as Kesi was entering into Vrindavan. Is there anyone ready to talk to Kesi? And Krishna came, and Krishna did. And my mother always warned me that when you feed the horse on a flat hand, right, watch out, don't put your hand in the mouth of the horse. You know? And Krishna put his whole arm in the mouth of a horse. His horse comes storming. He sticks his arm in the mouth of the horse. At the same time, his fist in the throat of the horse. And then starts swinging the horse around. And that sort of fixed the Kesi demon once and for all. Keshava. Oh, Keshava. Keshava. Yes. Krishna Keshava. Saved by Keshava. Yes, so I remember how these Russian devotees came and what an amazing time that was. And I also remember the Prime Minister of Russia, the one who let him out of jail. Who was that? Gorbachev. You can just imagine, you know, ever from his childhood days, they would all, Comrade Gorbachev. Whatever they say. Lots of P's, R's, S's, Z's, Y's, T's, all together. Pristivovsky and all kinds of, you know, funny words like that. I mean, how did they get it, you know? But it was not surprising that it was Gorbachev. It's such a name, how else could it be? Gosh, his whole life he heard the holy name. His whole life he heard the holy name. It had to be him. It couldn't have been anyone else. And then in the Netherlands, we had a very wealthy devotee whose name is withheld. And his email address also. But, you know, when Gorbachev visited the Netherlands, then he had lunch with Gorbachev, one of the people. He was sitting next to him, actually. So being a devotee, he said, Mr. Gorbachev, he said, I really want to thank you for what you did. You know,
I mean, you just voluntarily dismantled a totalitarian system and just actually, you know, for the benefit of the people. And Gorbachev just looked at him and said, finally someone who understands that I was not forced to do it. I was not forced to do it by political pressure. I was not forced to do it. I did it out of choice. Of course, the devotee knew. You had no choice with a name like that. Gorbachev. Gorbachev. You had to do it. You were compelled to do it. After chanting the name of Lord Karanga, you had to be used as his instrument. And therefore, even when the holy name is unknowingly chanted, the benefit will be there. So therefore, it's a good idea to give the kids names of Krishna. You know my story, I guess. But in case some of you don't, the story is basically that these Hare Krishnas, they were working very hard to convert people. And they would stand on the street with books. But Hare Krishnas in those days were all shaven up, you know, completely. And they had a wig on their head. So when they were distributing books, so you could recognize them at a mile distance. You know? I mean, you just look at some guy and you see, like him, you know, like, see? He's got a wig. Everybody just sees him. That's not real. Come on. You know? You can't fool us, you know. You're Hare Krishna, aren't you? Right? I know it when I see you. Right there. Yeah. So anyway, I would spot them anywhere, anytime, and avoid them. And if somehow or other, some Hare Krishna, you know, yeah, you watch out for this one, right? If a Hare Krishna would come in my direction, I would just make a very cold face. And sort of look over his shoulder into outer space. They wouldn't even dare to ask me, excuse you, are you from here or out of town? They never did. I got rid of them anytime. And the result? Yeah, what you guessed the result was? The result was I got a girlfriend. And then, but somehow or other, that girlfriend had a dog. And the dog's name was, guess what? Krishna. Yes, and the result, how did it get? Well, there was a friend who read a book of Krishnamurti, and when she got the dog, and she said, what shall I call it? He said, call the dog Krishnamurti. I just read the book. That really impressed him deeply. And he said, call the dog Krishnamurti. He said, no, that's too long. You know, I just call the dog Krishna. So then, as I got the girlfriend, I got the dog also at night. That's how it goes in the world. You know. You start with a girlfriend and before you know it, you got a dog as well. Anyway, so I had a dog. So at night, I was walking there with this dog. And this dog wouldn't come back, you know. So at night, I would be calling, Krishna! Around the block, every night, I did Harinam. And see what happens. Here I am as a Swami, you know. Now, this is called the Varma Padarsha Guru. The guru, the first guru on your path. In my Krishna sends one on your level, so I got a dog. Yeah, so just see, the power of the holy name is just amazing. It's just amazing. Therefore, this day is very significant. And it's a day to pray to Haridas Thakur for first of all inspiration to chant. You know, because once you want to, then it's easy. Yeah? So let's ask for inspiration to chant. Then, okay, if you've done that, you can ask for something more. Then ask that the whole import of the holy name will be revealed to us. Yeah? Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah? Aren't you a little curious as to what more is there? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Let's see what happens. You look curious. So yes, as a summer or other, chant the name of Krishna. Any questions, any comments?
So, since Maya Devi was initiated by Haridas Thakur, because she told him, I've been chanting the Ram mantra which Shiva gave me, but now that I have heard the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, I want to be initiated. Therefore, is she not our god sister?
Senior. And quite senior to us, yes. Yeah. Yeah, can offer obeisances to her.
Because Haridas Thakur was praying so much for the forgiveness, to forgive those people who were meeting him. When I was thinking, you know, like, in our lives, you know, like, I mean, most of us don't have someone coming and physically beating us, but we often, like, you know, feel attacked by different situations, but, you know, personally, I find it hard to, you know, pray for the forgiveness toward those people and develop a kind of humility.
It takes some time. It takes a little time. I agree with that, but we have to learn to do that. Yeah, I also did it. At first, the person who shot me in the back, I prayed, okay, let him be forgiven, but let him have constipation. But then I thought, no, that's not proper. So it took a few tries, you know, to get it right. And Haridas Thakur got it right in one go. It took me a little longer to get it right in one go. But still, it wasn't bad for the first try. You know. Let's try and practice makes perfect. Yeah, forgive. Wholeheartedly, completely. All the way. And pray for them. Yes, Haridas Thakur was being beaten in 22 marketplaces, miserably, mercilessly being beaten, and yet not feeling any pain, and he wasn't dying. How is it possible? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later revealed the secret. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat from Vrindavan Das Thakur, it is described that one day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked into the house of Srivas and walked straight up to the altar and moved everything aside and just sat down on the altar and revealed himself as the Supreme Lord. Wow. And everyone, somehow or other, could appreciate. But at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also came and offered benedictions to all, and he said something pertinent to every devotee, like one householder had a beautiful wife and still a more beautiful daughter. And one evening, they were traveling, and then they were being followed by some large, powerful Muslim soldiers. And the man was getting very worried as to what could possibly happen there in the darkness of night. And he was just moving fast with the ladies, trying to get out of the way. And he came, then, as he went through the landscape in the dark, he came to a river. And he prayed, oh God, please save me. And Lord Chaitanya said, you remember how you stood there that night and how you prayed, oh Lord, please save me. And you remember how then a boat came out of the darkness and how that boat appeared before you and just took you on board, and you just had a narrow escape, and the soldiers came and stood on the shore and saw how you were just going away. That boatman was I, said Lord Chaitanya. And then the time came for Haridas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya said, Haridas, my Lord, Haridas, do you remember how you were being beaten in these marketplaces? Ah, my Lord. Haridas, do you remember how you felt no pain? My Lord, your mercy, I remember. Haridas, do you remember how they continued to beat you, and that as they were beating you, Haridas, I was ready to come down with my chakra raised and cut the heads of these atheists. And then you prayed, oh my Lord, please forgive them. Yeah, the Lord put his chakra back in the chest pocket of his shirt, you know, and shaking his head, you know, like, what am I gonna do now, you know? Said Haridas, I was just thinking, what do I do now? Then Haridas, then know that I put my back over your back. And I took all these whippings on my back. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned around, showed his back to Haridas, and all the beating marks were there. And Haridas just fainted. Oh, no. But in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proved to all that he was the Supreme Lord. And he also showed in front of anyone and everyone the glories of Haridas Thakur. How kind he was in forgiving even those who were torturing him and praying for their welfare. What an example. Yeah, what an example. Whoa. That's how it is on a day like today. You know, it's like I said yesterday, we spoke about Haridas, about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it's a spiritual giant. And today, I started the day in the morning saying that, and today is the disappearance day of Srila Haridas Thakur, no less a giant, you know, no less a giant, in between giants, you know. And then we just, yesterday, we got knocked about by the incredible glories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We felt totally diminished and insignificant. And now today we realize we don't have an iota, not a Toyota, an iota. We don't have an iota of bhakti, right? No nothing, you know. Got no nothing. Yeah, no nothing. You know, a heart, you know what I mean? Do we even have one? Yes. You know, where is our love for Krishna? Where is it? Do we even have a heart? Do we have the heart to chant Hare Krishna? Do you have the heart to chant Hare Krishna? Well, I'm not thinking about it. There will be I'm planning to start chanting. Thinking about it. Seriously. dived into his chanting, immersed himself in the chanting. What a meditation. So it's been a weekend and a half, you know. Gosh, I mean, it's the never-ending weekend, starting on Heritage Day, you know. Everyone else took the Friday also. Gosh, we survived Saturday. Ow. Today, Sunday. What are we going to do tomorrow? Fall in the black hole of Monday. Oh, my gosh. But on that day, I think we'll take something, hopefully take something with us. Well, I guess I'm going to give it another shot. You know? I'm going to give it, well, not shot, I don't like that expression. gonna give it another go, thanks. It sounds innocent. Give it another go. Chant for real. Let's chant for real. Not half-baked, you know. Let's just give it a try and chant for real. And see what will come from all that chant. Arida's got something. What do you got? How can I know? But something extraordinary. That's for sure. You can't chant like that if you don't get some great inspiration. You know, you can fake it for a while, but for how long? If you're just chanting 300,000 names to impress people, you know, one day it's really impressive. You know, the second day it's still impressive. The third day everyone is not so special anymore. You've seen it now. And then you're all alone with 300,000 names. Okay, I'm giving up. Yes, the mercy of the Lord. Yeah. Yes, you also came here to join the movement of Lord Chaitanya. Because you're a devotee from birth.
I was in India for 9 years.
Acha. Yeah. And you were just brought here by Krishna to become part of this movement and to support this movement. I also have one disciple from Indian, a lady from Indian background, and when she was a small child, her grandfather was always saying this thing which she didn't understand. Wow, wow, wow. She didn't know what he was doing. Yeah. And then, at the end of his life, he called all the people from the village, and he served a big feast, and then after the feast, after everyone had left, then he went to his room, and he left his body. And then she never became a devotee, but then many years later she became a devotee. So yes, when once the holy name is in the family, then the blessings will not go in vain. So we had the good fortune to have a grandfather, to take birth in Gujarat, where people greet each other with Jai Sri Krishna. Yeah, it was part of Krishna's plan, because then you were here to host the devotees who needed support at that time, when South Africa was not going to welcome this, then they needed someone to welcome them. And you brought all the wealth, the spiritual wealth from India, and then you welcomed the devotees. This way, Srila Prabhupada also pointed out that it's not only about chanting Hare Krishna, but that it's also about serving Hare Krishna and serving the Hare Krishna movement. So in your story you show how you served the Hare Krishna movement and in that way became part of the Hare Krishna movement. Yes.
Maharaj, I heard about a temple in India where during japa time they play instrumental music to inspire the devotees for chanting. I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
He knows about the temple in India where they play instrumental music to inspire devotees for chanting. Well, devotees, at one point, Hayagriva had the idea to play Ravi Shankar from the altar. And Prabhupada said, no, that is sense gratification. Instrumental pieces, ragas from India, it's material. Another discussion came up recently. I was in Germany for a Kirtan Mela, and we were discussing about the chanting of the holy name. And this point also came up. Whether one can chant with the japa tape of Prabhupada. And then, Sarvatma produced a quote saying that Prabhupada explained that it was not required. It was not required. So I think these kind of artificial things are not required. There is a book out there, something with the sun, I forgot exactly the title, but it's a book. It describes how certain types of music create alpha waves. And that when you get music that makes alpha waves, that then you can chant better rounds. I've also seen a devotee in one temple, while we were all chanting japa, who was sitting like this,
with two hands on the chest. And after about 15 minutes, we were chanting, still sitting like that. And actually, I was walking, and it's a small temple room in circles around Tulsi, so I kept on walking past him. So at one point, I just asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm balancing my chakras so that I can chant better." It's something like, I'm going to fight a big gunda, and I'm taking my knife, right, so that I can hold him back, and then after I'll use my gun. I mean, really, when you're fighting for your life, use your gun, you know. It's time for the gun now. Forget the knife, you know. That's for peeling potatoes, you know. It's time for some serious stuff now. So, hear the holy name. So better hear the Japa tape if you want any tape. But then Prabhupada made a statement about that. So then it seems clear, you know, that Prabhupada personally felt it's not required. And just chant. It must be said, though, that to chant in a favorable environment where the modes are nice is helpful. You know, to chant on the train is a little more difficult to chant on a plane when you're sitting in between people on all sides, sort of next to you, you know, just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, sort of. Okay. It's difficult. I was on one plane and I'm just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna in the night, you know, like not so loud, Hare Krishna. And then suddenly, from the seat in front of me, this head comes up and says, "Stop it! Stop it!" So those are unfavorable conditions. So it's nice to create a favorable atmosphere. So a favorable atmosphere with some in front of some nice pictures of Krishna and so on. You know, a few candles. That's right. But not the music.
We are dependent on the holy name. It's our shelter. Sometimes that's obvious, but sometimes it requires humility to see. Haridas Thakur had that humility naturally, and it seems almost to an extraterrestrial degree. Our sense that humility is not so there.
Yeah, well, I always say, don't worry so much about humility. Start worrying about honesty. Because as soon as we're honest, then you have to admit that we're full of faults, that we're not so great. Instead, we live a lie. That we live in a false concept of ourselves. So just become more honest about ourselves. And the more honest we become, humility is a natural consequence. If that doesn't work, the other thing is serve the Vaishnavas. Just serve the Vaishnavas. Somehow or other. Serve those Vaishnavas. Then humility will come. Okay, we are remembering Srila Haridas Thakur today and took some extra time for that, but we hope that you got some inspiration from his amazing example. The stories can all be found on in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, also Chaitanya Bhagavat, or if that's too much, you can try Wikipedia. Yeah. In that way, at least, right, somehow or other, spend some time remembering Haridas Thakur. Because,
and pray to him. And he gave you two prayers. One was a prayer for inspiration. The other one is the inspiration to chant. And the other one, that the full import of the holy name may be revealed to us. And leave you with that. Thank you very much. Srila Haridas Thakur Tirubhav Mahamahotsava Gita Anantakoti Vaishnava.